Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion. This is Sister Elena, and I am here today again with a word of encouragement on this SIPTE page. And we are back on When Love and Action Meet. And we want to just encourage you ladies with this series that we're going to be covering probably for the next couple of weeks. I am going to post another portion of it next week. And so just look for every second day of the week on the Gregorian calendar, what we would say Monday morning, for there to be a post up on the website under When Love and Action Meet under the SIPTE page. And so I pray that you all are doing well and prospering in Yahweh, in the knowledge of the Most High, in His ways, in your relationships, in your families, that the Most High is with you, and that He is strengthening you, and that His will is coming to fruition in your life. So today I just want to talk about real quickly the barakas of humbleness. The barakas of humbleness. I'm using the word barakas, that is a Shemitic word. In English, it would be something close to what people would say blessing, like the blessing of humbleness. But we're going to talk about the barakas of humbleness. And then, not in this portion, but maybe in the second or third, we're going to talk about really what the word barakas or blessing, what it means in the ancient language, what the concept is of barakas. And I'll say it blew my mind, so maybe it'll blow your mind too. But let's real quickly, okay, what does it mean to be humble? So many times when we hear the word humble, or if we hear the phrase she or he is a humble person, it is common to think that the person is unassuming, doesn't have a high opinion of himself or herself. Sometimes we think that the person may be quiet, kind of, you know, modest, not really saying much, don't want a lot of attention drawn to them, right? Sometimes when we hear the phrase that a person is humble, we also think of a person who doesn't have much from a socioeconomic level, but has done well in being content with what they do have. So those are some of the things, some of the phrases, some of the concepts that come up in our minds when we think or we hear that someone is humble. Well, humbleness can take on the form of many different meanings. However, one main idea that stands out when we hear this word is humbleness refers to a person or situation absent of pride. So typically, people will think that this is speaking of someone or a situation that is absent of pride. And we're going to dive into pride as well. not in this lesson, but in a lesson to come. So being humble is something that is required of us as children of Yah. Being humble is necessary for proper and successful relationships, be it in marriage, friendship, or work, be it in a parent-child relationship. Being humble is a requirement. It is a necessary ingredient in the making of a good and successful life. So humbleness is a necessary ingredient to make a good life and to make a successful life. So in order for love and action to meet, humbleness in our lives must be present. So, what does humble mean today in our society? What does it mean in the language and understanding of the ancient people? So we're going to look at the word humble based on some definitions. I'm going to use Webster's, Merriam-Webster's definition. And then we're going to look at humbleness or being humble, what it means from a Shemitic, from an ancient perspective based on the language in which the original scriptures were written. So we have Webster's definition speaks of humble. It says not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive, reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission, ranking low in hierarchy or scale, insignificant, unpretentious. All right, so again, not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive, reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission, ranking low in hierarchy or scale, insignificant, unpretentious. And two words really stood out to me when looking at this definition, and it was the second point when it said reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission. So deference, we talk about deference, it's talking about respect and esteem due to a superior or an elder. That is the definition of Webster's definition of deference. Respect and esteem due to a superior or an elder. All right, so that's going along with being humble, showing respect to a superior elder, esteeming a superior or elder. And then the second one is unpretentious. That stood out to me. So unpretentious is free from ostentation. Now that is an excessive display, vain and unnecessary show. People do it to attract attention. We've all seen that, right? And also is free from elegance, is free from acting or speaking in a way that is not natural to oneself. So that's what we're talking about, where it says, you know, that person is unpretentious. You know, they're free from all that. They're not showy. They're not trying to act or speak in a way that is not natural to them. Also, when we speak of humbleness or to be humble, it can refer to something that is not costly or luxurious. Something that doesn't cost a lot, something, you know, some people, they're very humble in how they shop. They're very frugal. They're not going to spend a lot of money on things. And so, yeah, so we can look at it as, like that as well. Now, speaking of the Shemitic or the biblical, the scriptural concept of humble, we're going to look at some scripture verses. And this is one that many of us, we've heard it time and time again, and it's a very encouraging verse, and it's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. All right, so we have this promise from Yah that if we as his people, he says, if my people who are called by my name, so he's saying that we're his people and we're called by his name. So his name is upon us. He said, if we would humble ourselves and if we will pray and seek his face and turn, repent, right? He said, he will hear from heaven and he will forgive our sins and he will heal our land. He will heal our situations. Now, this word humble in this passage of scripture is from the Hebrew 36:65, kane or kana, and it strong defines it as properly to bend the knee. Okay, properly to bend the knee. And then he has in parentheses, hence, keep that in mind, hence to humiliate or to vanquish. But it is properly to bend the knee, to humble. And it's amazing that the command to humble ourselves is the first command in this passage. It is something that we have to do even before we can pray. Even before we can pray, we have to humble ourselves. He said, first humble yourself and then pray and then seek and then turn. So all these things will happen if first we humble ourselves, right? So when we look at the word in the scriptural language of kana, kana, we have the kaf, the nun, and the ayin. Those are the three letters that we have. And the kaf is the hand, right? The open palm of the hand. We have the nun, which is like the sea sprout. And we have the ayin, which is a picture of an eye. And so what this means in the language, the concept of kana in the ancient understanding is the hand or the hands open continually to understanding and knowledge. All right. So humble from the scriptural, from the ancient perspective, and what Yah is saying in this passage in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is that our hands have to be opened continually to receive understanding and knowledge. That is what it means to be humble in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that is why it is prerequisite for prayer, right? And to seeking the face of Yah and to turning, because if our hands are not opened continually, and that's the word continually, to receive understanding and knowledge, then we can't pray. We can't do anything else. Yah's not going to fulfill his promises because we're not open to receive his understanding and his knowledge. Now, the verse comes to mind also in James, the book of James, book of Jacob, chapter 4, verse 6. It says, Elohim resists the proud, but gives favor to the humble. Elohim resists the proud, but gives favor to the humble. Now, think about it. We're talking about humble. Humble yourselves and pray, right? Humble, our hands being open continually to receive understanding and knowledge. Well, if our hands are not open to receive understanding and knowledge from Yahuwah, guess what? That says that we are proud. And the messenger lets us know that Yahuwah resists the proud. He will not entertain the proud, but he will give favor to the humble. He will favor those who have their hands and their hearts and their minds open continually to receive understanding and knowledge. Also in Proverbs 16:5, Mashali, Proverbs 16:5, it says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to Yahuwah, All right, so everyone proud in heart is an abomination to Yahuwah. So everyone who doesn't want to receive the knowledge and understanding that Yah wants to give, he says they're an abomination. They're an abomination to Yahuwah. All right, because their hands are not open. Now, the interesting thing is in life, you know, on this journey as we are learning of Yah, and being acquainted with him, that there's so much we realize and recognize that we did not know, do not know, had wrong, you know. And sometimes what happens with some people, they get some knowledge of Yah. They're like, okay, I can handle the name. Okay, I can see, you know, that the creator, you know, his name is Yah. You know, as he deals with his people in the sixth day, he manifests the process of separating and establishing a set apart people. I can see, you know, and I can receive and accept that his name is Yah. I've heard people say that. And yes, I can accept that there is a Sabbath and that I have to keep the Sabbath and I have to keep the Ten Commandments. I accept and I receive that the Ten Commandments are valid and they are still in effect today in 2024, right? People can accept that, but then they're comes other things where it's like, okay, good, you got that. You got that basic understanding. You have received that understanding. But there's something else. And then Yah will give something else or present something else to them, some understanding, some additional knowledge. And when it doesn't agree with their flesh, when it doesn't agree with their perceptions of situations, their perceptions of themselves, of others, of institution, of religion, of all these things, then they close their hand, they close their hand, and they are not open. They do not want to receive. So now they had taken themselves out of a position of being, or out of a state of being humble, or being in this humble state to receive and to learn. Now he said, for us to learn, we have to learn of Yah. And now they have taken on a spirit of pride because they're saying that I have all I need. I don't need to know anything else. I don't need to understand anything else. What I know and what I understand is enough. It's what I'm comfortable with. And it's something that I can operate and function in. But that other stuff that you're trying to give me and trying to show me, or that you're bringing your messengers to me, and they're giving the word and understanding knowledge, I just can't receive that. It's kind of going against, against how I view things and how I feel about things. Then that is not good, because when a person gets to that point, Yah will resist them. He will resist them. Not only that, that person now becomes an abomination before the Most High. Let's take that in. We want to keep our hands continually open to receiving the understanding and the knowledge of Yah. So in Yeshayahu or Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For this is what says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is set apart. I will dwell in the high and set apart place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Now, in this verse, the word for humble, the Shemitic ancient language, Noahic language, whatever you want to call it, for humble, the word is shapad, and that is the Hebrew 82:17, shapad. And Strong defines it as depressed, literally or figuratively, like to bring oneself down, to bring oneself down. So when we look at the worship pa, we have the shan, the pa, and the lamad. And what we have with these three pictures, we have the understanding, the concept that there is a returning to the word and to the guidance. A returning to the word and to the guidance. So we have the Shan. It has different meanings, this one letter does. But one of the meanings to the letter Shan is a do again, like a repeat, right? Like a repeat, a return to do again, right? And then we have the Pa, and the Pa is the mouth representing the word, words, speaking, those things, right? Proclamation. And then we have the lamad, which is the shepherd's staff, right? It's the scepter, it can be the staff, and it's there to show in the regards of the shepherd's staff, that that staff is used to guide the sheep, right? It's also shown as a staff of authority, a staff of instruction that is leading, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. That rod, this rod is not necessarily talking about you beating a child or hitting a child to make them understand and keep them in the straight and narrow, but that rod is the instruction, it's the teachings of Yah, is giving them the instruction, the teaching, the disciplines of Yah, so that they do not go astray. So this Lamad is a very important picture, and it means so much. There's so much meaning in it. So when we talk about Shapal in Isaiah 57:15, when he says that he will dwell, that Yahuwah would dwell in the highest and apart place with the one that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, because he will revive the spirit of the humble and he will revive the heart of the contrite ones. So what the prophet is letting us know is that when we return to the words and when we return to the guidance of Yah, he will revive us. That is the only way that we can live again. Hallelujah. That's the only way that we can live again, is by returning to the words and the guidance, the leading of Yah. And when we do that, when we return to his word, when we submit ourselves, when we bring ourselves down, when we bend the knee, when we submit ourselves to his guidance, then we can be revived. So when we return to his word and to his guidance, Yahuwah, he has promised to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart, revive the mind and the heart of the contrite ones. So this is talking about repentance, humbling in regards to repentance. Thank you, yeah. Thank you, yeah. So we can see that from these two examples, the two examples of humble in the ancient mindset, that it portrays an understanding overall of where we humans exist in relationship, to the one who created us. And that we are dependent on the Creator for our lives. We are not here existing on our own. We are not breathing our own air. We are not giving ourselves the ability to breathe. We are not giving ourselves the ability to inhale and to exhale. We're not doing that. We are dependent on the one who made us. And these two examples, these examples of scripture, these examples of humble in the ancient language, is letting us know where we stand in relation to Yah. Yah is high above the heaven, and we are here on earth. We are below. He is high. So we are to submit, we are to bend the knee. Hallelujah. We are to bend the knee. We are to open our hands continually to receive understanding and knowledge. The knowledge of Yah. The knowledge and understanding of the way that he ordained. The way of life, the way of peace, the way of love. And again, I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. So today we witness many people not returning to the words and guidance of the set apart one, Yahuwah. Many are refusing to hear and to obey. This is pride. This is pride. This is pride. You have many religious people who fall into the sin of pride. And I believe it's because religion, as in our society, it teaches people to follow man and not to follow the one who made us. It teaches people to follow institutions and people and not the one who made us. Now, we do have congregations and we do have assemblies and we do have elders and lead elders. We're supposed to have those things. Those, those positions, those individuals, they are supposed to exist in the structure and the congregation of Yah. It is what Yah wills. It is good. It is right. It is true. And it helps us to understand the level of hierarchy. And it also allows us all to understand that everyone has to submit to someone. We are not going to, as the people of Yah, be able to live this life successfully and understanding his purpose, his will, how he does things if we do not submit. That is me submitting in our homes. That means submitting in the assemblies and in the congregation. It means submitting to Yah. It means submitting to his prophets. It means submitting to his teachers, to his elders, to his messengers. It means this life, this walk is about submission. And again, we will come back and really talk about what submission is. What submission is. It's a beautiful concept when we understand it according to how Yah sees it, how Yah defines submission. So we want to know that we don't want to be in pride. We want to stay away from pride because Yahuwah resists the proud, and we do not want to be rejected by Yah. We want him to hear our prayer. We want to be in right relationship with Yah. We want to bend the knee to the sovereign of creation. Yahuwah is the sovereign of creation. And we want to bend the knee. And we want to keep our hands open continually to receive understanding and knowledge. All right. We love Yah. And we want to love Yahuwah more. And we want to be found pleasing unto him. So this is the first part on our short series as we talk about humbleness and what it means to be humble. We're going to talk about pride, how pride creeps in, how pride manifests itself, why it is dangerous, why we must run from it, why we must bring ourselves under and bend the knee and submit ourselves daily and stay away from the sin of pride. We're going to come back also talking about barakas, the barakas of humbleness, the blessings, as people would say in the English, but we're going to talk about barakas and what that truly means. When people say from a scriptural standpoint, I'm blessed, or I have the blessings of Yah, we're going to look at the word barak and barakas. We're going to talk about what that means, because we do want the barakas of Yahuwah. We do want the barakas of the Most High upon us. So may we grow in knowledge and in the favor of Yah. May you, ladies, daughters of Yah, may you have an enriched week. May his peace be with you. May his joy fill your hearts. May his spirit speak to you. We are happy for this new year. We celebrate the new year last year. So Rosh Hashanah, Hamubarak to all you all out there. And may this year be the best year. May this year be a year of phenomenal growth and experiencing the favor, the benefits, the protection, the provision, the workings of Yah in your life as you submit to Yah, as you submit to his leading, as you continually keep your hands and your hearts and your minds open to receive the understanding and the knowledge that Yahuwah seeks to give all of his children. So may you all go with Yahuwah. Shalom. Shalom.